All right, if you're just joining us, this is ICAST, the Intelligent Radio Broadcast. Coming to you live tonight, and every night that we broadcast, that is, every Sunday night from Ottawa, Canada, the nation's capital. And joining me from Phoenix, Arizona, by the telephone is Mr. Jay Caliendo. Jay, welcome back.
Hello, sir.
Wow, that's cool. Lori wanted me to ask you, and I guess if the reading is gone, it's gone, but are chips okay?
Is the what?
Are chips okay? She loves chips.
Chips?
Yeah.
Oh. You mean like potato chips?
Yep. Yeah.
Ironically enough, probably okay.
Oh, she's giving you the high five.
Yeah, she's probably all right with that, because particularly if the if there's not much volume into, you know, just treat yourself to a little bit, and I think that would be fine.
All right.
But the salt, it wouldn't bother her, and I don't think that the potatoes enough to bother her right now. No, it's the larger volumes. It's those portions of pasta that she.
You know, we're pretty good, huh? Oh yeah, we love pasta here, I tell you. So we have got your book, and like I said, it's a great book, fascinating read. Just to sit there and read and say, oh my gosh, there's more possibilities than I've ever thought of, you know, for some of these ailments and so on.
Sure.
You were going to talk about why you decided to write this book, I think.
Yes, a lady contacted me by the name of Pam Swearingson. She's a beautiful lady and got a great spirit about her. She's a medical editor, and she's written medical books. And Pam called me and said, I've heard about you, and I wanted to ask you if she lived back east someplace, Minnesota or somewhere. And she says, I want to ask you that when you do a reading, do you document them? And I said, yes, I have to. If I don't, I'll forget them. And she says, well, have you ever thought about publishing them? And I said, not really. I mean, I can't say it wasn't in the back of my mind someday, but, you know, not really. Why? And she says, well, because I was thinking of coming out and seeing you, and if I could review some of them, I was thinking of maybe if we couldn't publish them, and there was a lot of reasons why that she felt we should do this. One was she reminded me of the Edgar Casey. When Edgar Casey died, and I think it was in the 50s, late 50s,
mm-hmm.
He was a psychic, but he also did a lot of health readings, and he was a tremendous with his accuracy and his ability to read health. And when he passed away, they published his readings, and that's all they did. I mean, they didn't write a novel, and they didn't tell any stories about his life. That did come later, but they did publish his readings. They felt that maybe the world should know what this guy was seeing and what he was actually saying. Well, that was the concept that Pam thought we should use, and I was flattered that she used my name in the same sentence as his.
Yeah.
But that's basically what we ended up doing, is I took, I've done thousands of readings, and Pam looked at all of them, and basically we picked out well over 800 that we felt kind of covered the globe. You know, anything from sinuses to anything, fungus and you name it, we've put it in the book. Diagnoses, misdiagnoses, symptoms that couldn't be cured, the most peculiar and bizarre symptoms. We tried to put as many different types of headings in there as we could, and in the index there are several thousand different headings that you can refer to, and it turned out that that in doing that, in publishing those readings, and the book is about everyone else. It's about you. It's not about Jay Caliendo. There's really very little in there about me. It's just about, there's a quick interview up front about me that Pam did on me, but it's very short. The book is really dedicated to everyone else. And my purpose for doing the book was that I can't read my demand. I mean, I have more phone calls per day than I can read, and I still have another full-time job. So I was, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, I have such a compassion to help. I mean, when someone calls you for, and says, you know, gee, I'd like to help paint your house. I mean, that's one thing. But when someone calls you and says, I need your help. I can't find answers and I'm sick, or my little girl is sick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't believe how that feels. And then to say, well, I'm sorry, I don't have time. I my calendar is full. That is what does drive me crazy.
Yeah.
So the book helped me feel some of that, some of those feelings, take care of some of those feelings that I was having. Because if you read the book, you can go to the index, find the symptom, find the diagnosis, find the problem that you have that you can relate to. Then thumb through that section of the book where those readings exist, and read up on those five or six people that I did readings on in your particular category, and see whether or not anything I've suggested to them couldn't help you. Because there's just a possibility that it could. And that's why I wrote the book. The book can reach millions, but I can't. So that's really why I wrote it. And I put it on the Internet because if I had learned as I got involved in this publishing stuff that if you're a new author and an unknown author, and I was categorized as both, your shelf life in the bookstores wasn't very long. It was about 3 to 4 weeks. Then you go into the discount table for a week and you're gone. And I wanted the book to last a lot longer than that. If I did the Internet, it would last forever. They print on demand. So it's a very easier, much easier way. The other reason for that was that I read worldwide. And so I wanted the book to be available worldwide. And so it's available on Amazon.books and get it ordered through the UK as well, anywhere outside the US. The book is available. You can go to a lot of bookstores and get it, but it's not on the shelf. What they'll do is they'll order it for you.
Right.
It'll
right.
come. It's delayed in a couple of days, but you will get it. So that's pretty much how that book came about.
And again, so that and it's also available off your website.
It is. You can go to my site, and I don't sell the book. You can, but if you'll click on the book, I have a cover of it, a photo of the cover in my site. Under my event page. And if you'll click on that, it'll take you straight to the bookstore. It's called Ex Libris Bookstore. And or they can dial a toll-free 888 number. If you don't mind, I'll give it out.
By all means, yes.
It's 888-795-4274. And you can ask for the bookstore or just go to extension 276, and that'll take you to the bookstore. It's ordered by the title, The Way I See It, or by me, Jay Caliendo, or both. And it'll come right to their house. They should get it in about 7 or 8 days.
Wow.
It's a $20 book, I think.
Jay, I want to ask you this question, but I sort of don't want to ask you because I think you've answered it already, but I'm going to ask it.
All right.
Has your view of contemporary medicine changed at all since you've had this ability? And I don't mean that. I should clarify this. I don't mean your view of let's say the professionals and how they diagnose, but more or less, just how maybe they overlook certain things, or maybe they don't know exactly where to diagnose.
I'm not sure if it's changed, but it's opened up a lot. I admire doctors. I always have. I wish I could have been smart enough to have been one. You know, so I love working with them. But doctors are—they're trained in a medical field, and in the medical field, you know, if it's not in the book, it just doesn't exist. So they're working with limitations, as so do I. My limitations is I don't have any medical background, but I see energy, which my lens to me is a little wider. I look at energy, that just holds so many answers. And so to answer your question a little more directly, until we train doctors or the medical field to see energy or to work in energy, now we're doing it with acupuncture and some energy work,
right.
But until we really learn that holds a big answer to what's wrong with us, we're not going to be able to help people to the extent that I would like to see or that most of us would like to see. And that's why my part I feel is so important, is that I see the energy. That's all I do.
Yeah.
I see it, I detect it, I diagnose it, I tell you what I think's wrong, I I tell you what I think's behind it, what's caused it, and I tell you what I think you should do to get better. But that's all I do.
Yeah.
And although I think that's extremely important, I think it holds the link to so many illnesses. What my gift has opened up my eyes to is that I didn't realize energy was so important. I don't think most people do. You know, you walk across the carpet and then touch an object, you get a little shock.
Yes.
And all that is static electricity. But it takes energy to have that, which means there's energy flowing through your body. You didn't even realize it. If you were to give someone a hug, give your wife, Lori, a hug, that would feel good. I would guess that would feel good to
yes,
both of you.
Yes, yeah.
How is that? I mean, all you did was put your arms around her. There's no challenge in that. But there was an exchange of energy, and that's why it felt good. It feels good to hold her, and that's an exchange of energy. And yet you could hold someone else or shake someone else's hand and not like it. Well, that's an exchange of energy as well, but it was negative energy,
right,
not positive energy. So we've always got energy through us, running through us, and around us. We are surrounded by it. There's nothing you can do that doesn't put out an energy about you. And it's going to be put out in a positive way or in a negative way, but you're going to put it out. You can't avoid it.
Right.
And until that's what my gift has opened my eyes to, is this incredible world about energy. That's really what we're made of, a spirit and an energy.
And, you know, it's funny because as you're saying it, I'm actually picturing just how much energy is running through us.
Right.
It's quite amazing.
It really is, because
yeah,
we don't, I mean, people don't see it. You know, you don't look at yourself and see it. You don't look at someone else and see it. But if that's where my gift is at. I mean, I do. But that, to me, that's not a big deal. I mean, that's just me. That's all it is. It's just me. But it is such a important element in our lives.
Yeah. Going back, if I could, for just a moment, when you were talking about working with the practitioners and stuff, and do you find, Jay, these days that the I don't know, the way it is out there now, the medical community, are people sort of opening up a little bit more to people like yourself?
Yes, they are, more and more every day.
They are,
And it's wonderful to see that you know that they would listen to a guy who has no medical background whatsoever. I mean, if you can imagine the how that is such a compliment to me, but it used to be years ago, you know, you were crazy. I mean, that people just weren't going to listen to you. In the 70s, you know, people used to ask me, what'd they call you in the 70s? And I said, oh, crazy, you know. So what's wrong with you? Go talk to crazy. He'll tell you, you know.
Oh.
And it wasn't until, you know, the 90s did we get more educated. And in fact, in 95 is when I was invited to work at a clinic. And it was a physical therapist's clinic. And she specialized and prided herself on helping children that were mentally challenged. Some were dying of diseases. Some had crippling diseases, and they came in wheelchairs. And it was just a sight that would touch anyone's heart. And she says, "Would you do me a favor and come in here and read my kids for me?" And I mean, how do you say no?
Mm-hmm.
So I used to go in on my days off from the police, and I would read her kids, and we had such a breakthrough. What I was doing, I was cutting down the time. You know, I was saying, here, I know you've been working on this part of the body, but let me move you over here on this side. And then the child would open up more. And that was the beginning of me going public. I had not gone public in 20 years. It was, I mean, if you knew me, that was fine. I wasn't embarrassed about it. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
And I was asked to do that in 95, and they convinced me, the whole staff said, you need to go public with this. You could help a lot of people, and they wouldn't let up on the pressure. So I did. I went public with it. I think it was about January or October of 95 or January of 96. I went public, and it's been nonstop ever since.
Well, that's great. That's great. And I wish you, like, continued success.
Thank you.
Now, you're talking about the police. Can you tell? Do you want to tell us anything about your policing career, how you got started in that?
Well, I'm a supervisor. I'm a first-line supervisor. I'm a sergeant with Phoenix, and I got started 21 years ago. The economy was slow. And I felt that I should find a career job and somebody that would pay me more reliable than what I was getting. And so I always kind of felt that I was I could be good at it. You know, there's just certain things that you feel like you have a tolerance for, or a disposition about, or a talent, whatever it might be. And mm-hmm. I thought I could always do that job. And so I applied, and they took me, and I made it through the academy, and I've been with them for 21 years. And it's a challenging job. It's a day-to-day challenging type of job. It's a stressful job.
Yeah.
You never know what's around the corner. I am a patrol supervisor, so I do work in a patrol car and supervise the officers that answer to the 911 calls. And which is the most, probably the most serious, the most dangerous part is that first respondent.
Yeah.
But that's where I enjoy being. I've been there my whole career, and I enjoy working with the guys. And like I say, the paycheck comes every 2 weeks, and I need that. And it just it's been hard to walk away from. I would like to. My time is up. You know, I've been there a long time, and my demand for my work as an intuitive is really. Quite in demand for me right now.
Yeah.
But I'm hesitant to walk away from that steady income. You know, I mean, to step out and try and replace that income. And there's a lot of benefits. I've got health benefits. I've got retirement benefits. You know, I've got investments in the stock market that they invest for you. So there's just a lot of benefits to it that I would have to pick up on my own, and I just have not made that decision yet. But I would like to. That's where I'm headed.
Yeah. It sounds like right now you've got the best of both worlds, really, when you think about it.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying both too, Norm.
Yeah.
You know, if I would imagine if I did readings 85 hours a week, it would drive me crazy, and if I was to be a cop 85 hours a week, it would drive me nuts. But to do both 40 hours a week seems to work out real well for me. I enjoy the two sides of my life. Very much. It's a little refreshing to go back to one or the other. And I switch back and forth every day. I do readings every morning, and I go to work every night, you know, at least 40 hours a week if I do.
Now, do you mostly work night shifts?
I do. Yeah. It's all by choice. I've been on long enough and in rank long enough to pretty much pick the shift I want and the days I want. So I enjoy what we call swings. It's the middle shift. It's from about... from about 1 o'clock to 1 o'clock, I work a 10-hour shift, but I'm gone about 12 hours a day, in travel time. I do that 4 days a week. So, but I enjoy the nights. I'm usually home about 1 o'clock in the morning, which is good for me.
Now you said you do one, then you do the other. Is there ever a point in time? Have you ever had the two? Crossover. Have you ever had one thing bleeding into another?
I've been asked that a lot. No, I really haven't. But there's been times when I could let that happen, but I don't. To do my intuitive work, it's a very compassionate type of work. To be a cop, it's not that you're not compassionate for people, but it's in a different way.
Yeah.
And you have to have that protective shield up. Otherwise, you're vulnerable. You can get hurt. There are people out there that will hurt you, and you can't be in the business of carrying a gun and handcuffs and think you're going to embrace everybody, because you're not. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So, there's two sides of me there, and if I let one bleed over into the other, it's not always to everyone's advantage. And there's been times when I've fought off that compassionate side, that softer side of me, and said, "Wait a minute, I can't go there. We won't get anything done tonight if I go there." So, you know, you just do your job, and I sometimes even say a little prayer. You know, God, I hope you can help them tonight because I can't. You know, and I just kind of walk away from it.
Yeah. So,
and on the flip side of that, I don't want the cop side of me to come out when I'm trying to help people in the readings. I mean, that's sometimes that can be a little hard. You know, so it's from that standpoint, there can be a little challenge, but not as much as you might think. I've learned to pretty much master that. I can turn it on and turn it off very fast.
Wow. Do other people on the force know, and have they always known about what you do?
No. Another good question, actually, Norma. No, I was always afraid to reveal this to them. I've been an intuitive since 1973. I've been a cop since 1981. So I was an intuitive before I was a police officer.
Okay.
And from 81 to 95, I don't want to say I hid it, but I certainly didn't talk about it. And I had read a few police officers that became friends of mine, and you know, you become close with some of these guys, and police are a great bunch of people. They really are. They're just wonderful people if you ever get to know anyone on a personal basis. And I've made good friends on the department, and they will find out what I do just through friendship. And I will read them or a family member of theirs that really needs some help. But for the most part, I did not reveal this. I certainly didn't, you know, take it out and go and tell the command staff. Until 1996, I think it was, I decided I was going to go public, and that I had prayed about it, you know, my answer to me was, don't be afraid of it. Do what you do. If you do it well and you do it with integrity, then do it. And don't worry so much about what people think. Those that are skeptic will probably always be.
Yeah.
And there'll be those that you'll convince. But there's a lot of people that need your help. Don't be afraid to help them. You've been helping them as a cop. Don't be afraid to help them as an intuitive. And so I just did. I don't worry about it anymore.
Yeah. So is it safe to say that some of the training you've had as a police officer has helped you, maybe not in the way you do your present your gift, let's say, but maybe in just some of the structure and how you do it?
Yes, I believe it does. Yeah. I believe it has. Particularly in the area of, I'm kind of you know, straightforward. I'm kind of shoot from the hip kind of a guy. I mean, I'm gentle in the sense of in telling you what I think is wrong and how you should fix it. But I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Before our conversation is over, you're going to hear it from me. You've asked me for it, and I'm going to give it to you.
Right.
And that's the cop side of me, you know. For cops give a lot of advice, and in the intuitive world, you're asking me for my opinion and for my advice, and I give it. And in that sense, I think it's helped me a lot, because sometimes we can almost be too gentle and dance around the issue and kind of dance around the bush, and I don't think that's what people really want. At least in my experience in readings, people want answers.
Yeah.
And if you're a little direct with it, that's okay. I want to know what's wrong with me, and I want to know what to do to get better, so don't worry about my feelings, just tell me. And I do worry about their feelings, but I think the police has helped me realize that you can be a little open, you can be a little direct. Let's deliver the message and move on, and that's what I do.
All right, and on that note, we are going to prepare for our last break of the evening. So, Jay, while you're in the electronic green room, help yourself to some of our coffee and donuts.
Wonderful.
And when we return, we will have our last segment with medical intuitive Jay Caliendo. Don't touch that mouse. I was going to say dial, but, you know, it doesn't make sense when you're broadcasting over the Internet, so don't touch that mouse. Stay right where you are. ICAST will return shortly with more intelligent radio. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to ICAST@nmblive.com. We'll return to the program after this.
Now, aren't you glad you didn't watch that made-for-TV movie? You are listening to ICAST, the intelligent radio broadcast on NMB Live. You can email us your questions and comments right now. Send them to icast@nmblive.com. Once again, your host is Norman Michael Burketta.
All right. Thank you for joining us tonight, by the way, and I hope you've enjoyed this. We've got, let's say with some house cleaning at the end of the show, we've probably got about another 20 minutes to go. So with that, I will welcome back my guest tonight, Jay Caliendo. Jay, welcome back.
Hello.
Did you enjoy those electronic coffee and donuts?
Yeah, that was a real experience in itself.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Most people complain about them, so thank you for not doing that. Got a couple of email questions now. One of them is a repeat, though. Somebody was asking, how about do you get a reading, and what are the costs involved? I don't know. Do you want to take a moment and address that again?
What was the question?
How to go about getting a private reading from you and the cost involved?
It's $120 U.S., because I don't know where they're calling from. And we're on the phone for about an hour. So when we book a time up for an appointment, they need to plan on at least an hour of non-interrupted time. And how they can go about that is they can call my voicemail. Give me a few days to call them back. I will return all my calls. Or just go to my email address and just send me an email requesting it. Leave me some phone numbers, and I will return the either the email, or I will call them by phone, or I may do both. But I will get a hold of them. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
Right.
If you want, I can give those sites out again. Or
absolutely, absolutely.
The email address is the J, initial J, at medicalintuitive.com. That's the email address. Leave me a name and as many phone numbers as you can. Or call my voicemail at 1-623-465-0130.
All right. And that should answer the question there. Next, can you do readings through email?
I haven't. Can I? I don't know. I haven't done that. So the question remains, can I? I really don't know.
Right.
I would suspect I can. But
I guess you do need some kind of interaction, though, do you not, to be able to see properly?
Well, I'm not so sure I do. Let me get my phone here to work. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now better?
Yeah.
I lost you for a minute.
Oh, did you? Okay, no problem. You're still clear here.
There's times when, like I say, infants can't speak to you, so I'll talk to a parent, or I'll talk to a physician and never talk to the patient. So I don't need to talk to the individual who I'm doing the reading on. But I like to talk to someone who has some knowledge about that person, whether physician, a family member, or the individual themselves. Hearing the voice is not relevant, but I just can only say that I have not done it by internet. To me, it's a little distant.
Yeah.
It's a little distant I think people deserve a little more, you know. I just think it's a little cold or a little distant to be just typing messages back and forth. So I have not done that.
Right. Yeah. I was actually surprised when you said, maybe I can. I was actually expecting you to say, no, absolutely not. But it's interesting that you even for a second considered the possibility that maybe you could.
Yeah. In fact, the possibility is being expanded a little bit. I've had some physicians, some doctors that have asked me if I would consider that for them, or I could be a consultant to them, that it might be quicker or more convenient for them to send me a message by internet about a patient, and let me just type them back an answer. Because physicians never have time to talk. I mean, when I get one on the phone, we're on the phone for about 3 minutes, you know, and that's all the time they have. And so not only is my reading very quick, but so is what I think is wrong and how to fix it.
Yeah.
We talk very fast. They just don't have a lot of time. And so they're thinking, well, there'd be a little more time. They could elaborate a little more, go into it a little longer if they could type it to me. So those things are being explored. That's why I say it may be possible, but to be honest with my answer, I have not done it yet.
Right.
I like the interaction. You know, I like to talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I think actually, even with all this email, faxing, and everything else, MSN Messenger and chat rooms and all the nonsense, I think people do miss in this day and age that person to person kind of thing. Anyway,
and you know, in missing, and when you're using the word missing, and you know what you might be saying is that energy exchange.
That
you may be missing that energy exchange that is so important, and so I wouldn't want to eliminate any part of that. So the only thing I could do is just try it someday. But I think I've kind of avoided it.
Well, you know, I think you're on the right track. You're following the path that you are following, and I think you're doing the right thing. What are your goals for the future, Jay?
Well, I kind of touched on it. I would like to retire from police.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed my career, but it's probably served enough hours in the saddle, and I would like to move on to the intuitive work, and if I could free up myself from the police job, which is 40, 50 hours a week, I could add that many more readings per month, per year, and I would like to do that. So that's where I'm headed.
Okay. Do you have any speaking engagements? Do you ever speak to groups about what you do, or...?
Yes, sir, I do.
I just finished
one. I addressed about 150 people at a seminar, and we're planning another one, I think, for October, if it goes off well, with a lady who is the CEO of it, by the name of Hilda, beautiful lady. And if we do, another one is tentatively planned for October, and we'll anticipate probably over 300 people at that one. And I enjoy that. I will address a lot of questions as I have for you, and then I will do readings in the room as well, as many readings as I can, you know, and I can go through a lot of people very fast if they're very specific with their questions. And I enjoy that interaction very much, but I just don't have the time to be doing seminars, you know, three or four seminars a year. I just don't have the time for that right now.
Yeah.
But I would like to do that. You ask me where I'm headed, I would like to do that, and I would like to travel a little bit as well and meet people and hold seminars in other cities.
Well, who knows? That could be. It could only be maybe just a couple of short years, Jay, before we're going to the Carell Center or something to see you here in Ottawa.
Boy, would I love that! You know what? Not only would I have an opportunity to meet you and Lori, but I would love to do that. Come up there and have a seminar and meet a lot of people and help as many of them as we can.
Wow. Do you have other materials as well? I was going to ask you this a while ago. Other than books, like, do you have any tapes or anything like that, or is that something you're also maybe looking at in the future?
I am working on that. All I really have to offer people now is the book. I say all; it's a lot to me, but and I hope that people do take advantage of it. The book cannot grow old. Readings don't grow old. I mean, they're forever, and so it's something that you could keep in your personal library and refer to it 10 years from now with a new symptom, or your grandchild's got a problem, you know, and you can always pull the book down and blow the dust off it and open it and see whether you can't find the answer. So I'm real glad that I have that book out there, but I don't have any. I'm working on and whether this will ever come to pass or not, I'm not sure. But we are, as we speak, I'm working on probably doing a video where I could actually speak to people in their living rooms and tell them how I feel about illness and how important I think energy is and things like that.
Wow, you've got your eyes open there. You're looking at different things.
I do.
Yeah.
We are also considering. We're trying to put together a pilot show, which I'm really excited about. If we can pull that off, I just did a television show with with a beautiful lady by the name of Jan Diotry down here in Phoenix. She has a her own show Monday through Fridays here locally in Phoenix called Heart and Home with Jan Diotry. And I've asked Jan to co-host a show with me if we do a pilot. So, but we did her. I just did two segments with her back to back just this Friday. So I'm active. I'm out there as much as I can be. You know, I still got that full time job.
Yeah.
So I'm doing what I can to let people know that I'm available. And speaking of that, you know, if people call me, which I would encourage. I love to hear from you, and if I can help you, I will. But the readings aren't next week. I mean, I would be scheduling them for probably March or April right now. Late March or early April is right about where I'm sitting with my readings, and yeah. And that's honestly not very bad for me. I'm generally booked further out than that, but this is the beginning of the year, and so my calendar is open. I know April's open, so if people want to call, the sooner they call, the sooner I can get them booked for a spot.
Okay. And I'm just going to look, because I'm going to throw out that phone number again. It is to get a booking, and you can do one of two ways. You can send an email. It is the letter J, the at sign, medicalintuitive.com. So that's J@medicalintuitive.com. You can also get there from our website if you... go into past guests and just click on the link in Jay's profile, or you can phone 623-465-0130.
And also, if while they're waiting for the reading, if they want to, if they may find their answer in the book. I don't mean to drive that book home too much, but it's a book that I've it's close to my heart. I've revealed hundreds and hundreds of my readings in it, and I'm hoping that people can use that and not have to wait, stand in line for a reading.
Mm-hmm. And again, Jay, is there any way a person can prepare for a reading other than looking at the book? Can they think of some questions that you might ask, or is it better to just go into it as we did tonight without anything known before, just go cold?
Well, it's good not to be too judgmental. Leave your mind open for anything. Realize that energy is very important to us, and how we put off positive energy is with positive thought. We put out negative energy with negative thought. So keep your mind open, keep your thoughts positive. Call me. Have down written on a piece of paper when it comes time for the reading. They just need to have written in the margin the questions they want to ask me, so that they don't forget what is important to them, the symptom or the diagnosis or lack of it. And we'll get right to business. And I think you and I have mentioned it, but I do them over the phone. Distance is not relevant to me at all. I'm reading in several countries throughout the world, and I know that sounds a little mystifying, but it really isn't. It's just a God-given gift. It's easy for me to do it. It takes a lot of focus, tires me out a little bit, but it's not a challenge. I enjoy it very much. I just simply look at a person's spiritual energy, and... Well, we'll look at them my way and see what we can do.
Wow, I have to tell you, I'm glad that you've joined us tonight. I really am. This has been a fantastic. I mean, I've enjoyed spending these 2 hours with you.
Well, thank you very much.
You've got, let's say, 6 minutes. Okay.
Yes.
To say whatever you want to say. Is there anything you'd like to say to this audience? It's all about you.
Okay. Well, first, thank you for that opportunity, and it's I have a compassion to want to help. I am not God. No one is, and no one should ever try and replace him or his abilities. I'm about 89% accurate with my readings. I'm pretty good at what I do, but I hold it with the utmost integrity. And the utmost compassion to try and help as many people as I can. But I have a lot of work on my desk, a lot of people calling, and I've got a full-time job as well as a family. So it takes me several days. I can sometimes be up as 10 days before I can return a phone call. And then I will book you for the appointment. I won't say no to you, but it may be several months down the road. And that would be about the only inconvenience I ask people to to understand. If I inconvenience them in any way, it would be that I won't return the call tomorrow as much as I want to, and I can't give them a reading tomorrow as much as I would love to. But I will. We will get the job done, and I would like to let people know that. And please try and thumb through the book. You might find your answer there, and you won't have to go through the burden of waiting for me to give you a reading. Or we'll do both. You know, that's really what I'd like to just tell people. I don't know how many intuitives are out there. I don't know how many of them are, how good any of them are. I wouldn't question it for a minute. But I can tell you that I try my hardest, my best, to be as good at it as I can be. And although it comes very natural for me, God has blessed my work in many ways. He's opened up a lot of doors. Yours tonight is another door that he has opened up, this beautiful two-hour interview. I mean, how many people have an opportunity to get a two-hour interview with someone as you've been so, you know, gracious in giving me? But God has blessed my work. He's made me the only medical intuitive in the world to have ever been published in a medical journal. He's allowed me to publish my readings, make them public. No other intuitive has ever done that, with the exception of Edgar Cayce,
right,
which is about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I've got some nice little feathers in my cap from just trying to keep my work with utmost integrity and respect that I can. You know, I do the best I can.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not everybody's answer. I'm just a piece of it.
Well, I respect I respect the fact that you say that right from the get go, and you know that you know hey, this is not this. This is only one part, you know, one step in the process, and I respect that. I imagine that, you know, when you, because we'd you know talked about it before about how there's probably not many of you around, or intuitives, I should say. It's not like the psychic world. I know it must be terrible for the legitimate psychics to have to deal with a lot of the illegitimate ones, but you don't. I don't hear of a lot of you don't see any commercials on television. You know, 1-800 call the intuitive kind of thing.
You're so, right. You
so,
don't.
So you're not inundated.
I'm not sure why.
But I mean, that must in itself lend even lend some credibility to you. In you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad to see that it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of psychics out there, and there are some real good ones, and I'm sure there's a share of those that aren't so good that just make a living at it. And it may be the case with the intuitives, but for some reason the medical intuitives have been a little more reserved, you know, in their field, and I'm glad to see that.
You know what, Jay? I think our time has sadly, and I mean that, come to an end. I have had a blast, and Lori is waving at me, and she says thank you again.
Well, she's welcome. I wish her luck with this. I think she'll find some progress in this.
Well, we're going to follow up. We're going to. I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to make any promises. I'll try to keep her off the pasta, okay? But I can't. I can only control to the end of my fingertips. You know that.
There you go. Well, you just let her know you're doing it out of love, right?
There you go. So we'll work on the pasta, the tomatoes. I think we might have a little bit easier time with the tomatoes, and we'll look into the massage, and then I'm sure. Well, you know what? I'll keep in touch with you anyway.
Excellent.
Every once in a while, and then definitely again when we book you to come back. Hopefully, you can find some more time, maybe in the summer. Of course, it's
big time, sir.
Summer for you all the time, right?
I will make time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for that offer.
And Jay, thank you for spending the time with us tonight.
It's been my pleasure.
All right. You take care.
I will, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Good night.